Welcome to the IYBA's podcast channel, powered by Robert Allen Law, The Yacht Lawyers. Each week, we release discussions from our past conferences, summits, and educational events specifically related to the yacht brokerage community. With more than 1,800 members and growing, the International Yacht Brokers Association, IYBA, is the world's largest and most influential association for the yacht brokerage and charter industry. IYBA is dedicated to professionalism and ethics in all aspects of yacht transactions. This week, our segment comes from Yacht Engineering Week 2021.
Hi everyone, I'm here at Fire Ranger in Fort Lauderdale, where Paul has sent me to dispel some myths about the fire extinguisher systems and safety systems on boats. Paul will be texting me some questions for the guys, so let's go meet him now. Hello, Barbara. Good, how are you? Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Heather.
Hey,
nice to meet you, Glenn.
Nice to meet you.
Neil, nice to meet you.
Paul said you were coming by.
Welcome. Yes, Paul has been sending me some questions via text message that brokers have and some misconceptions in the industry. So I'd love to take a look at your facility and hear what you have to say with your combined 40 years of expertise.
Okay, I'll show you around.
No worries.
Let's go.
Let's do a tour.
Okay, I will follow you.
This way?
This way?
The warehouse.
Okay.
You passed reception already? Met Barbara?
Yes, very nice. Perfect. Okay, let's see what questions Paul is sending us here. So our first question is, tell us about the different types of portable fire extinguishers and extinguishing agents.
Okay, portable fire extinguishers are designed, as they say, to extinguish fires. They're the first line of defense, and they come in many different shapes, sizes, and colors. There is no set color. They can be any color. Red is the industry standard. And that's the ones that are most commonly manufactured, but they can be in white, as you see, silver, all different colors. The most common types of fire extinguishers that are out there are what are called dry chemical fire extinguishers. They have ABC powder inside them. These are used for multi-purpose effect to cover the most common types of fire, which is trash, wood, and paper, liquids, oils, and gasolines, and electric fires. There are other agents like water, halon gases, CO2, foam, that are designed for specific types of fires and specific applications. So the most common fire extinguishers you find are ABC dry chemical.
And does ABC stand for something?
It stands for the most common types of fires that you have. Each fire is rated. Type A is trash, wood, and paper.
Okay.
Type B is liquids and gas, and type C is electrical. So if it's an ABC extinguisher, it covers the most common types of fires. Obviously, it wouldn't be a good idea to put water onto electrics or onto gasolines. So you have extinguishing agents, and most commonly dry chemical, that are designed to cover any type of fire. So an ABC extinguisher is the most common type you will find.
Wonderful.
Here at Fire Ranger, we service, maintain, and inspect the fire extinguishers. This is our inventory and storage area. These extinguishers here have all been tested, ready to go out into the field. So if we have to swap out equipment that's been used or discharged or damaged, we have extinguishers here on the shelves that the techs can take straight out into the environment.
Great, so these ones are all ready to go?
These are all ready to go, yes.
We
have many more that I can show you in a minute that are going to be serviced, but these ones have been checked, passed through our quality control testing, and are here sat on the shelves ready to stock the trucks.
Okay, let's take a look at the ones that need servicing.
Okay, coming through. This is our packaging and inventory area. Any equipment that is supplied to the vessels, fire and safety services, is set up here, and when the techs pull up in their vehicles, they come to the back here, they call in their order, and our warehouse department gets it ready for them.
Fantastic.
When the technicians work out in the field, they bring back equipment that needs to be serviced or maintained for some reason. They bring it here, they drop it off. Either it has to be scrapped because there's something wrong with it, or it can be reserviced, refilled, and recharged. Basically, a fire extinguisher has a shelf life, a boil-off date. Depending on the type of fire extinguisher, it could be either 5 years, 6 years, 10 or 12. The most common types of fire extinguishers have to be refilled every 6 years and then hydro tested, which is a pressure test taken out on them, every 12 years. So depending on the type of extinguisher, it gets dropped off here by the technicians. Our warehouse staff take the extinguisher. They either scrap it, in which case we recycle the metal and the powder or the agent inside them, or they can rebuild them. Around here we have what's called our recharge room. All the fire extinguishers are sorted into type and size. You just turn the fan off there, please. Here in our recharge room, our technicians take the fire extinguishers, they disassemble them, they take out the agent, they rebuild the heads, they put in new O-rings and valves, they repressurize the fire extinguishers, they then put them into a water bucket, they pressure test them, make sure there's no leaks in them, they then clean them up, put the new certification stickers on them, put the hose back on, and then they're ready to go back out into service again.
Wow.
So an average fire extinguisher would have a lifespan of 12 years, and every 6 years it has to be refilled. Every 12 years it has to have a complete hydro test on them. These ones here have passed through the inspection test, the refill test, they've been repressurized, and now the reason they're in the water is making sure there's no leaks or bubbles coming out. And if they're good to go, they get cleaned up and put back into the system, ready to be used again.
So how many times can you refurbish one?
As long as it's not too damaged, or it's not rusty, or there's not too much corrosion on it, you can keep going. You can't have anything that's prior to 1984. But okay. Any fire extinguisher that is allowed to be recharged and refilled, it was manufactured after 1984. As long as the extinguisher is in good condition, we can keep recycling it every 6 to 12 years and refilling it, taking it apart, replacing components inside, and giving it a new life.
Wonderful.
Okay. Once the fire extinguisher is good and ready to go, it's then put in a pallet, depending again on type and size, taken back over to our inventory department, and the techs will then take it out into the field.
It looks good.
Thank you. We also service. That's the idea. Yeah. Making them clean and shiny is a really important part of the job. We also inspect and certify and test fire suppression systems. These are fire suppression cylinders that have come off of many different types of vessels. As you can see, again, they come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. There's CO2, there's clean agent, there's foam. This equipment here is specific equipment that's come off a certain vessel, and that vessel is requiring the exact same equipment back. Quite often what you get is a swap out process, where if a technician goes on site and finds an extinguisher that has an issue with it, he will then just swap it out for one that is good to go. But in a lot of occasions, the owners of a vessel or the management or the captains only want the same equipment back, in which case it is documented that way. So when this equipment has been serviced and refilled, that equipment goes back onto the exact vessel.
Okay, I see these ones have labels, so that's probably why they want the same
this
ones.
This is it,
that...
yeah. Every fire extinguisher has a place on the ship. You can't just randomly put them around. So right. Depending on the fire plan of the ship, each fire extinguisher is designated for that area. You have certain extinguishers that can be in the kitchens or the engine rooms or the galleys. And certain, this one here is on the sun, goes on the sun deck. This one here goes in the laundry room, so we know exactly where it gets replaced when it gets put back.
Fantastic.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so what else do we do at Fire Ranger here? We service and repair all the fire suppression systems and portable fire extinguishers ourselves. We cover many different services. We have to recycle a lot of equipment. A lot of fire extinguishers that come back into play can be scrapped, but we can't just throw them into the trash. They have to be depressurized. The same with batteries. We can't just throw these away. So these have to be all packaged up correctly, boxed up, and sent back for recycling.
I see.
The hydro testing that Neil was discussing earlier, right here, we have hydro testing equipment. So the cylinders get hydrostatically tested here as part of the inspection process.
Hydro testing is a pressure test that's completed on the cylinder. It can be done one of two ways. In this scenario here, a cylinder is filled with water. It's put into this water jacket. We then pump it full of pressure and the cylinder expands. If the cylinder expands and does not break or does not crack, it will then contract again. We then dry it out, clean it up, and you can reuse that cylinder. There are two types of cylinders that we can hydro test. This is our high pressure machine, which does extinguishes up to 3000 PSI. And this is our low pressure machine, which does extinguishes up to 900 PSI.
Wow. Now we have another question from Paul. Let's discuss the different types of fixed fire systems and gas suppressing agents on board.
Okay, Glenn.
Yeah, okay. I'll probably answer that one for you.
Okay.
So the majority of the fire systems that we find on board vessels have a clean agent gas. We've been discussing a lot about dry chemical. That's what's in the portable fire extinguishers. But inside the fixed fire systems will be a clean agent gas specifically designed to put out B-rated fires, which is flammable liquids, which is what you'd find in an engine room.
Okay.
Those gases are odorless, colorless, they leave no residue. So if it was to discharge in an engine room, it wouldn't make a mess. Obviously, you'd have a slight residue, but nothing like a dry chemical fire extinguisher. Those fire systems are obviously subject to different regulations and different schedule of service based on what's inside. There is carbon dioxide, CO2, there is FM200, also known as HFC227. There is all the chemical names, NOVEC 1230 is another gas. Each one of these fire systems has a different gas, but they all fundamentally work the same. So if a broker is at a vessel and they have a fixed fire system, the best thing to do is contact the company, have them come in, inspect that system, and then they can give them the information they need on if the system is okay, what service it needs, or if it's, you know, fit for purpose. Because if you try and figure it out yourself without the training, you won't know what you're doing.
Okay. Speaking of inspections, you all do that here, and I understand you're fully licensed and insured, and there's a lot of certifications that you have to go through for that, I'm sure.
Absolutely. The equipment on board the vessel obviously has to be inspected to make sure it's fit for purpose and it's going to function correctly. If the owner operator or a crew member or somebody was to look at that and say, ah, it looks okay to me, that's all well and good. But at the end of the day, if there's an incident on board, somebody's going to come in and say, well, who inspected this piece of equipment? Who said it was okay? And that's where we come in. We are a licensed, certified, authorized company, insured and qualified. So when someone says, well, who inspected that piece of equipment? Well, Glenn did from Fire Ranger. They say, and Glenn has these approvals with ABS, Bureau Veritas, Lloyd's Register, the manufacturer, NFPA, he holds a permit through the state. Then they say, okay, fair enough. He knows what he's doing. Fair enough, I trust him. He's got the qualifications needed. So the liability is there on me because I have the training. So that's why you need a qualified, licensed, insured company to do it, which is exactly what we do. That's how we make our money.
Great. Now, yeah. Do you provide any training here?
We will do basic training. We have a strategic partnership with Resolve Maritime Academy. So any kind of crew training that's needed for the vessel, we direct them straight to Resolve Maritime Academy. They do the most comprehensive training in the area. So we always work with them.
We also provide onboard training for crew as well to how to use their equipment. Part of the inspection process is we show them how to operate the fire suppression system. Fire suppression systems in engine rooms most commonly will operate two ways, either automatically or manually. Automatically, the system should go off at a certain temperature, so if the heat rises in the engine room due to fire, the system should go off automatically. It can also be pulled manually, where most fire suppression systems will have a manual pull station. So we will train the crew on board where those pull stations are, what to do in case of a fire, how to evacuate the area, and how to follow the procedures in case they need to pull the pull station to get it operating. So we offer training to the crew. Our technicians get trained at the factories for the manufacturers we represent, and for the certifications that we hold, and we also have our own training room here where we train as well.
Let's take a look at the training room.
Okay, go ahead.
Follow me.
So you mentioned that there's a chemical system and CO2 and things like that. Now, I'm no scientist here, but I know that, let's say, oxygen fuels a fire. So there are different types of gases that can put out a fire. Is that what I'm hearing?
There are, yes. There's certain chemical agents that displace oxygen.
Okay.
So that's how they suppress the fire, by displacing oxygen. CO2 is one of those agents.
Interesting.
But the newer gases, they don't displace oxygen. They rapidly cool the space. So if somebody was inside the hazard area when it went off, it wouldn't cause any asphyxiation. They would be able to breathe it.
Okay.
So agents, as they progress, they get better and better each time. You know, they have a technological advances, and then they get better and better.
Sure.
Original halon that was out, which is the most common name that people refer to clean agent gas, was very good at putting out fires, but it could be poisonous in certain circumstances, and it was also very bad for the environment. Mm-hmm. As time progresses and new methods of manufacture come into effect, there's obviously been lots of different types of gases that have taken over that, and that we're now at the most common modern type, which is called NOVEC 1230, which, as Glenn says, changes the reaction temperature in a fire, which puts the fire out, but you can also stand in a room and breathe it, and it also has virtually zero ozone or environmental impact. So wow. It's good for the environment, and and you can stand in a room and breathe.
Zero carbon footprint.
Great.
Which is great for today.
Great. So now what are we looking at here?
This is our employee training room. We do our own in-house training room for OSHA, for manufacturer's guidance, for continuing education. These are mock-up of different types of fire suppression systems that the technicians will work on. The most common one that you probably see in the marine industry would be this one here, which would be a Sea Fire, which is one of the biggest manufacturers. They're based out of Baltimore and Maryland, and they manufacture one of the most common types of fire suppression system that you see in an engine room. Glenn is our superstar on CIFAR systems, so I'll let him explain the parts that work.
So you asked earlier about suppression systems. This is a basic fundamental suppression system. So this will be mounted in your engine room.
Okay.
And this fire system is filled with enough suppressing agent or gas to competently flood the engine volume. There's a thermal bulb in the top of the fire unit, and that reaches an ambient temperature, a set temperature, and it melts, and this entire cylinder empties in under 10 seconds. With that emptying, this little pressure switch, monitor pressure switch, will energize a relay box, and that relay box will shut down engines, blowers, generators, any machinery within the space, and sound alarms and let everybody know that it's discharged. So that's essentially how they work. That is your most basic fundamental suppression system.
Wow.
But it's all good. You look at it, the gauge is in the green, and everyone says, oh, it's good, it's in the green. But there's a lot more involved in it than that. We do need to take it out of its bracket assembly. We need to weigh it. We need to test that the manual capability is functioning correctly. We need to conduct this shutdown test. We need to make sure the bracket is housed correctly. There's a lot of points that we need to go over to make sure it's fit for purpose. It's not just a case of looking at the gauge. And that's the thing that we need to come in to do. If the vessel's for sale, if it's had a survey, if they're getting a new insurance carrier, anything like that, that's going to be needed. It's going to come up and say, you need to get that fire system inspected and certified by a licensed company.
Great. I'm sure that's a common misconception. You see it in the green and you just assume it's fine.
Exactly. And then another big thing, I brought this for you so I could show you.
Oh, okay.
So obviously we affix a certification tag to the unit.
Okay.
So quite often we punch the unit the day that we were there. So in April 2021, we serviced and inspected this fire suppression system.
Okay.
It then expires 12 months from that date. Quite often people will read the punch of the year and the punch of the month and believe that's a expiration date, but it's not. It's 12 months from that date.
12 months from that date. Okay.
So that's another thing we get a lot of calls on, and we have to educate people on that.
Okay, interesting.
No problem.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
All right.
Souvenir.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't give you anything.
Awesome. Let's take a look at the rest of the facility.
Okay, you can head out forward towards the...
Let's take a look at the LSA room for other services.
Okay, I will follow you. This way? All right. So next question from Paul is about the new USCG extinguisher code requirements. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what USCG stands for?
Absolutely. So USCG would be United States Coast Guard.
Okay.
And I'll try and make this as simple as I can. Coast Guard used to rate a fire extinguisher B1, B2, B3, depending on how efficient the fire extinguisher was.
Okay.
There's another rating by UL, Underwriters Laboratory, and they rate a fire extinguisher with certain units of A, certain units of B, and certain units of C, just like we talked about the different types of fire. So a fire extinguisher may be a B1 in Coast Guard, but it's got a 2A 40 BC rating with UL. So now they've come across and they are recognizing the UL rating. So what it means, if you cut all that out, what it means is when you are buying your fire extinguishers for your vessel, you may not need as many as you needed before, and you maybe have different fire extinguishers. So when you're decking the vessel out with equipment, it's important that you've got a company that knows those codes, because or else you're buying more than you need, or buying the wrong equipment.
I see.
So it has changed, and it has been adapted, and it's a little easier for the end consumer, actually.
Okay.
Let me just stress, though, about buying more extinguishers than you need. We would always recommend you have more. A Coast Guard regulation, as the same with any sort of regulation, would tell you what the minimum is required. But people quite often ask us, how big a fire extinguisher do I need? And we say, well, how big a fire are you going to have? So if you want to have a little rinky-dinky fire, get a little rinky-dinky fire extinguisher. Get a little cute one, put out little cute fires. But you're probably going to have a big fire, in which case you want to have a big fire extinguisher. So when people say, what do I need on board the vessel? The Coast Guard regulations are for the minimum requirements.
Yeah.
Insurance requirements, that's the minimum you need. But we would always recommend you have above and beyond that if your budget can afford it.
Absolutely.
And then the other thing, when we do our training with fire extinguishers that they purchased, we always explain, you want to buy a fire extinguisher. If you want to get something bigger that you can handle, you've got to be able to feel comfortable and confident handling it. It's no point in buying something that you can't lift up. You don't understand how to use it. So we make sure you understand what you have, how to use it, and you're confident and comfortable working with it.
So now what room is this?
So part of the other aspect of vessel service is there's fire extinguishers and there's fixed fire systems, but the vessels also have fire and safety items related to fire and safety, like immersion suits, also known as Gumby suits or anti-exposure suits. Mm-hmm. They have breathing apparatus. They have fire suits because obviously the crew aboard the vessels have to do their own firefighting. They've had training, but that fire equipment needs to be inspected and maintained. There's also SCBA cylinders. There is rigid inflatable life jackets. All that equipment is subject to inspection every year under the jurisdiction of the vessel. So we make sure that equipment is inspected and maintained in accordance with the applicable code, you know, depending on the vessel.
Great. So you do it all here.
Yeah, absolutely. There's small emergency escape breathing devices. You know, it's never ending. Anything to do with fire and safety is going to fall under that.
Absolutely.
That umbrella.
A simple inflatable life jacket has to operate at all times. They have replaceable cartridges, replaceable bobbins that set them off. They have flashlights. All this equipment it has to be inspected and tested once a year. So if you go in the water with a life jacket, you know it's going to work. So that's what we do. When we test them, we make sure all this equipment is working. Any equipment, you can see the corrosion here on this cartridge.
Yeah.
You can see this cartridge has also been used. There's a hole inside it. This would need to be replaced. And that is what is all part of the annual inspection. So it's not only fire extinguishers, it's also life safety appliances that we can inspect and certify.
Wow.
And we have the same approvals for fire extinguishers and fire suppression systems as we do for life safety appliances with ABS and Lloyd's and Bureau Veritas.
Great. Now, it's very important, of course, for the crew to be educated on this topic, because if you're out at sea, you can't call 911 and say, you know, come put out our fires.
That's what we always explain. The alarm goes off. Most people go to the parking lot and take a break for
right.
10 minutes.
And then, can't do that in the middle of the ocean.
Absolutely not. They've got to know what they're doing. And it's okay having the best training in the world, but if the equipment that's on board the vessel does not function correctly, then it doesn't matter how good the training is. So that's why it's imperative that it gets serviced correctly.
Absolutely.
And being trained on how to use the most basics of equipment is important, like being trained on how to use a fire extinguisher. Have you ever used a fire extinguisher?
I have not.
Would you
but
like
I'm going to learn today.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Okay,
let's go. Let's
right,
try
follow
it out.
Me.
Let's see. And I know there are some new types of products that are coming out, such as lithium ion battery fires and special fire extinguishers for that sort of thing.
Correct.
Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, there's something that's obviously new to us is all the batteries in cell phones, batteries in e-cigarettes, lithium ion batteries
computers,
hand tools,
computers,
hand tools, all that sort of stuff. So those fire extinguishers, they've developed a fire extinguisher called an AVD fire extinguisher, which is your triple word score for the day. That's aqueous vermiculite dispersion.
I will never remember that.
There's a good word for you. And specifically designed to work on a lithium ion battery. It will coat the battery. It will contain it so that you don't get thermal runaway, which is where one cell heats up, ignites, and burns the next cell, and it just keeps perpetuating and going and going.
I see.
Those extinguishers are on the market. We're one of the only companies that has that extinguisher available now. So we've been profiling it at all the South Florida boat shows and bringing it, making everybody aware of it, because
great.
It's definitely something that is going to be needed in the industry sooner rather than later.
Right, because a regular extinguisher wouldn't put out a lithium ion battery fire, correct?
Just because of the heat.
Good to know.
It can do it.
That's a fun fact I learned today. I did not know that.
Okay. Let's get you out and fire extinguisher.
Okay, let's do it. I'm ready.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's bring you over here so we're in a safe area.
Okay.
Okay, so we talked about different types of fire extinguishers.
Yes.
We talked about different colors.
These
two fire extinguishers here are two completely different colors and completely different types. This here is a water fire extinguisher. Fires just straight water. You can get straight out of the faucet. And that's why it only has a type A rating. You can only use it on trash, wood, and paper.
Okay.
This fire extinguisher here is a CO2. This extinguisher has a B and a C rating. It's designed for electrical fires and gasoline and liquid fires.
Hmm.
The reason we use these most commonly for training is because, as we spoke about ABC powder earlier, it's very, very good at putting out a fire, but it's also very, very messy. These extinguishers are good for training because you can be able to see how they work, how they operate, and then they don't make too much mess, okay?
Okay.
Right, so, you haven't done this before, right?
I have never done this before.
Good, okay, this is good, okay?
Okay.
Every fire extinguisher is designed exactly the same way for a novice to be able to operate it, okay?
Okay.
You have here, which is the safety pin. You have to pull that pin out, which I'm going to show you how to do it in a minute.
Okay.
You have here the hose, which you're going to aim at the base of the fire. You're then going to squeeze a handle and sweep. That's okay. An acronym called PASS, P-A-S-S. Pull, aim, squeeze, and sweep, okay?
Okay.
So we're going to presume that this beautiful Florida palm tree right here is on fire. You're going to grab this fire extinguisher. You're going to, first thing you're going to do is you're going to remove the safety seal. You're going to get that and just rip it off, okay?
Get this.
Okay, hold it, rip it off.
Rip it off.
There you go.
Okay.
Perfect. Now pull out the pin.
Pull out the pin.
Okay, that's it. Now take out the hose. I'm going to hold the hose in your strong hand. That's it. It'll snap right out.
My strong hand.
You're going to aim it at the base of the palm tree. Okay.
I pick it up.
Well, you don't have to.
I don't
you
have can to.
Aim
to.
That one down.
Okay. And you're going to squeeze that handle down.
Okay.
Ready? Go.
Ready. Oh, wow.
And then you sweep and you cover the fire.
Sweep and cover the
fire. So you blanket the base of the fire.
The base of the fire.
Not the flames.
Huh. Wow.
How easy was that?
Easier than I thought it would be. I thought it was going to have kickback or something. But
some of them do, and some of them are a lot noisier, which is this one here. So this one is the most common that you would see in movies and TV shows.
Yes.
Because it looks really cool. Okay.
Okay.
This is going to shoot out a cloud of CO2.
Okay.
Okay. Which is a different agent than the water, but it doesn't make a mess either. So it works exactly the same way. So you're going to pull the tab off, snap that tab off. There you go. Pull out the pin.
Okay.
You're going to raise that hose. There you go.
Okay. Horn,
okay. You can pick this one up now. Before we start, this will be very noisy. Okay. And there might be a little bit of kickback. Okay. On three, squeeze.
Okay.
One, two, three, go.
Wow.
And as you can see,
cool.
Zero agent. It's gone. Okay.
So imagine if that was in a fire suppression system and you just sprayed that in the engine room. You wouldn't even know you sprayed it.
Right. Yeah, I always thought it was like a foam or something that came out.
Some of them are foam, some of them are dry chemical, some of them are gas, some of them are CO2, and some of them are water. Now, the way most fire extinguishers are placed and designed on board is that a company that has put them in the right locations would have the right extinguisher for the right hazard. So you would normally have the clean agent extinguishers inside the engine room because you wouldn't want to be filling an engine room with powder because you wouldn't be able to see your way out. If you're in the galley, you'd have a fire extinguisher specifically designed for cooking oils. If you're in an electrical room, you'd have a BC extinguisher. So that's why it's very important not just to buy a fire extinguisher, you want to have the right extinguishers for the right application.
Fantastic. Well, I learned a lot today and I used a fire extinguisher for the first time. So thank you for that.
Well, hopefully you never do have to use one, but if you do,
hopefully not.
Or if you have any questions, just give us a call at Fire Engine. We'd be happy to help you out.
Absolutely. Thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right. We'll send it back to you, Paul.
This podcast series has been brought to you by Robert Allen Law, The Yacht Lawyers. New episodes are released every Tuesday. If you are a yachting professional and you'd like to become a member, go to www.iyba.org and sign up either as a broker or an affiliate member. We look forward to seeing you at our next event. For more information, go to www.iyba.org and click on Events.